the CEO of the Australian Hotels Association here in WA. Good afternoon, Bradley.
Good afternoon, Ollie.
What do you make of the Oxford Economics reports?
Well, look, the reports that come out of Airbnb seem to be stamped and produced in different jurisdictions around the world, coming up with all sorts of figures. I've not ever met anyone that's got a job working in an Airbnb, and to claim that they've created 90,000 jobs, I just don't understand how that could be justified. Look, it's clear that Airbnb is under huge pressure from a lot of jurisdictions around the world who are clearly looking to regulate this short-stay accommodation. I think rolling out deeply flawed economic studies to try and justify why they shouldn't be regulated is almost laughable. Clearly, their strategies suggest that they're too big to be regulated, and if they're regulated, then local economies will lose millions of dollars and thousands of jobs. But these kind of claims don't hold up to scrutiny. Tourism in WA was thriving well before Airbnb came along, and it'll thrive well after it. Because if you look at the cities around the world and the jurisdictions around the world that have now been regulated, you're talking about countries like Italy and Spain, cities like New York, Paris. You know, these cities have not lost their tourism because Airbnb has been regulated. So I think it's a very long bow.
Okay, Oxford Economics, the so-called independent reports, I see they've been already done or similar studies in the EU, India, Colombia, Wexford, Brazil, Puerto Rico, Thailand, Goa, Malaysia, Limerick, Jamaica, Philippines, Latin America. The list goes on and on here, Bradley. So do you think they might be recycling some of the same data and just moving jurisdictions?
Well, funny enough, if you look at the quotes that come out from them, and if I can just read one, Ollie, James Lambert, the Director of Economic Consulting in Asia for Oxford Economics, said that Airbnb has clearly played a major role in resilience and rebirth of the Indian travel and tourism sector. And then you go to another quote, same person, same organisation, says Airbnb played a major role in the resilience and rebirth of the Philippines travel and tourism sector. It's a bit of a, you know, cut and repeat. And I think that if we're looking at, you know, places like New York, London, San Francisco, the home of Airbnb, Amsterdam, Barcelona, that have all now regulated Airbnb and have them under proper controls, planning regulations, registration, tourism hasn't died in those cities.
Well, we had the Premier Roger Cook on the program when we were at the Royal Show a couple of weeks ago. He hinted legislation's coming, and he hinted that it would look like zones. So we wouldn't have a blanket rule across Western Australia, but perhaps in more popular holiday zones, I assume in the southwest as an example, around Dunsborough and Busselton. Is that something you believe which should be introduced, Bradley?
Yes, look, I think it's important that the regulation and the legislation meets and matches the requirements of local areas. So what's needed in Perth is going to be different for what's needed in the southwest or in the Kimberley, for instance. Different local governments are going to have different requirements. Some of them already have a regulation system for holiday homes, others don't. So the state planning guideline or the state planning laws around this need to be flexible enough to take into account different local regulations according to the local government authorities.
What do you think it should be? Have you got a suggestion on the number of nights a year that somebody would be able to rent out their property through Airbnb?
Well, if you look at New York, it's one night. They require any night over one, over zero, they have to be registered. We're a bit more liberal in our approach, and we've been recommending to the state government that it be 30 nights or more, thinking about if someone's letting out their home for less than 30 nights of the year for single occupancy, that is, no one's living in the home, but you've got a tenant there for 29 days or 30 days, then that's fine. But over 30, we believe it's really operating as a business, and it should be registered with the local government authority so that other residents in the area also know what's happening as well.
Of course.
Some jurisdictions. Sorry.
No, you go ahead.
No, some jurisdictions, as I said, like New York, have gone as low as zero. Others have gone with seven. Some have gone with 30. In places like New South Wales, they went with half a year before the business the Airbnb operator needs to register. And that's clearly a joke because it's not working in that state and it's not proper regulation when it's done that way.
Bradley, has Airbnb stays, as the short-term accommodation industry, has it ruffled up the feathers of the Hotels Association and your members? Would they obviously like to see Airbnb and stays and the like capped with the number of nights that people can rent their property out, because I imagine it might boost their businesses?
Well, we've argued for many years, Ollie, that everyone should operate under the same regulation and the same laws, whether it's planning codes, whether it's fire, whether it's protection for amenity in the local area. If you're a hotel, an apartment building, or a short stay provider using someone's home or a private apartment, everyone should operate under the same regulations. And that's all we're looking for. We're not looking for them to have any more regulation than what the existing licensed accommodation sector has in place.
So for the licensed accommodation sector, for hotels, for motels, there's a lot of red tape, there's a lot of hoops you have to jump or comply with. Airbnb stays, they get away with not having to do as much paperwork.
Well, basically, if they're not registered and they're not compliant, they're doing none of that. They're just meeting a basic building code according to what you have to build a private residence or an apartment at, which is very different to the conditions and the costs of building short-stay accommodation. The other side of it is, of course, that local communities deserve to know if the house next door or the apartment on the same floor as in your apartment building is being used for short-stay rental. The disruption and disturbance that we've seen many, many stories over the years, I think residents and people living in those areas deserve to have their amenity protected, or at least deserve to know who is the owner of this apartment so they can take up an issue and complain if there's problems that are going on. And so, the other side of the equation, I think the bigger issue that the state government's recognised is that there's been a massive crowding out of long-term leasing and long-term rentals because thousands of homes, thousands of apartments, thousands of townhouses have been turned over for short-stay rental like with Airbnb. And that's meant that there's thousands of places that could otherwise be in the long-term housing market that have been removed from that market, and that's pushed up rental costs. It's removed availability from the market for consumers. And at the same time, a lot of these places, when you look at the data that is available, the Airbnb properties are only occupied maybe 30-35% of the year. And so 60-65% of the year, they're not being utilised. Whereas in the past, they were accommodating homes and families for 100% of the year. So there's a massive issue here around housing availability, and in particular, the shortage that exists in the market. When you go and look at research around the available number of houses and properties available for long-term lease in WA at the moment, it's around 2,000. But Airbnb properties, it's around 10,000. There's a real balance out of whack there.
Bradley, thanks for your time.
Thanks, Ollie. Cheers.
Bradley Woods, the Australian Hotels Association.